the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
He's just going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, I don't think we're going to have any running backs drafted on day one of the 2024 NFL Draft. We'll be looking for day two and day three for that. We will definitely have a tight end drafted in the first day of the draft. That'll be Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Welcome, everybody. We are talking about those two positions, the prospects you need to know. And you know what? We're going to give you some hope for the running back class. We don't have a Bijan Robinson. We don't have a Jahmyr Gibbs. We have some good players, though. It is maybe, hopefully, not as bad as it has been represented. And we'll also find out if there's more than one tight end we need to know about, but at least we've got a potential stud. I'm Adam Azer. I got Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, and once again, Chris Trapasso joining us here. Welcome back, Chris. You had so much fun. You were so great. We had to bring you back for another episode, and we're happy to have you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, and I appreciate that I met the bare minimum for what you need to do in one episode to get back to the second one, so I'm very proud of myself for that.
You did a lot better than that. What are your overall thoughts on the running back class?
So as just a draft analyst, I think it is right where running back should be. Like I was wearing the shirt for the running back or for the wide receiver episode. Don't draft running backs in the first round. There's going to be a bunch that go from like end of the second to the fourth or fifth who are going to ultimately become good players in the NFL. I think that's the right value for running back. So like you mentioned in the intro, it's not it hasn't been this highly lauded class like we've had the last couple of years. But yes, I do still think that we will see feature backs, the good complementary guys, the out of the backfield scat backs picked later. It's a solid class. It's not great, but I don't think it's quite as bad as it's kind of made out to be the last couple months.
Do you think if Jonathan Brooks was healthy, there'd be a little bit different feeling about him?
Two things. I think if Jonathan Brooks stayed healthy, and it sounds like counterintuitive, but if Trey Benson got more carries at Florida State and like was the bell cow and not getting 150 carries a season the last 2 years, then I think we would be seeing like, hey, these two are two maybe could sneak into the back end of the first or early second round picks. But because Benson was really in this running back committee at Florida State, and obviously Brooks getting hurt relatively early in the season last year, I think that has kind of dampened the excitement of this wide receiver or this running back.
Those are 1-2?
No, they're not. But I think consensus, those will probably be the first two off the board.
Those are one. Well, one of them is number one. Trey Benson's number one. Jonathan Brooks is number five for Chris. And I am so excited about who he has number two, because I look at the guy like, I don't know what I'm missing here, because I don't see this guy. Should I say Marshawn Lloyd? Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. I don't know why people aren't higher on him, but Chris is, so I'm excited about that. Brooks, Jamie mentioned, it's a big storyline. He tore his ACL in November. This is a guy who played for Texas behind Bijan Robinson, behind Roschon Johnson, got his chance with 187 carries, 25 catches in 11 games. He averaged 6.1 yards per carry, and Jonathan Brooks averaged 11.4 yards per catch. So yes, he does have that torn ACL. I encourage everyone to listen to what JJ Zachariasen and Heath Cummings were talking about on the FFT Dynasty podcast last week about Brooks and some of these other guys. But let's say he didn't have the torn ACL. I mean, you kind of just mentioned where you think he could go late first, early second in that scenario. But is he that kind of prospect? I mean, is he a great prospect? Did he have a great season before he tore his ACL? In my personal opinion, I feel like he got maybe a little overrated because we were reaching for something in this running back class. But I don't know. Give me your thoughts. Like, is he better than, say, Zach Charbonnet, to use another guy from last year?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think he's in the Charbonnet realm. I think he's a little bit more explosive than Charbonnet was. And not to go against what I just said to Jamie and like Jamie's question, but it did kind of feel like, Adam, that we were kind of trying to find who this sparkling first round running back prospect was. And then it was, oh, he got hurt, so it's not Jonathan Brooks. But I think he was pretty great. I don't think he was tremendous, but the receiving ability at his size, yards after contact, the elusiveness, I thought he just kind of not emphatically checked all the boxes, but he checked a lot of the boxes of a future feature back. I think there are like three or four of those types, again, that will be picked later, but probably where they should be picked in today's NFL, that can be those bell cow running backs in the future.
I feel like there's something up with him, Chris, because in high school, he scored 62 rushing touchdowns in one season. Whoa. Was named Mr. Texas Football, or whatever it is, Mr. Football Texas, and didn't get a ton of offers to play outside of Texas. And now he's entering the draft, and I just feel like there should be more buzz about him because I love his receiving skills. He kind of leans too heavily into being a cutback runner. I don't know what the top end speed is and whether or not teams are going to gravitate toward that, but I think he's a good three down player. And I think he can be a three down player in the NFL and could eventually, like once he gets over this knee, can be a feature back in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. That I just don't know how high his ceiling is, but I think you're right. Like three down player, you're not going to take him off the field on third downs because he can't pass protect or he can't catch the football. I think if anything, and I've kind of gotten nitpicky with this, even though I usually gravitate toward the late day two, day three running backs, because again, that's where I think they ultimately should be picked, who are elusive. I don't think he's like going to make a ton of defenders miss at the next level. Now, you don't usually see that at 6 foot, 220 pounds like he is, but I think there are running backs in this class who are just more naturally elusive that can get more than what's blocked for them than Jonathan Brooks.
All right. We are.
Yeah. I kind of see that. Did you think his offensive line helped him out a ton too?
I do. I think, you know, they spread it out there with Steve Sarkisian, and the offensive line was pretty good. Christian Jones is going to get drafted their left tackle in the top four rounds, most likely. So they do have at least one NFL player there. There's a guy next year that's which his name is eluding me right now, but who kind of has a lot of buzz in next year's draft. So I think the offensive line was very good, and some of those cutback lanes were gigantic. And I think Trent Richardson would have seen those holes. I was not expecting to throw astray at Trent Richardson this morning, but I think in terms of just hitting big runs, it's great to see on film, and like you guys know, that's great, but to be able to see like what can this runner do when it's not perfectly blocked, when there is a linebacker in the hole, is he lowering his shoulder and trying to run through him, and that's usually not good for shelf life, or can he make that guy miss or really not be squared up by the tackler? That's where I have a little bit of a concern with Jonathan Brooks. And maybe that's what you're saying, Dave, that there is something to him that he's not super elusive, just making guys miss.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. He is, you know, highly regarded, but coming off the torn ACL, which again, he suffered in November. And Jamie, we do have, I don't know how unique this is, but we have two really desirable spots, right, with Dallas and the Chargers. Any other spots that really, and not necessarily just for Jonathan Brooks, but for anyone, but at least we've got that. If we don't have an elite running back in this class, at least we've got some destinations that look good, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is clearly the most ideal because of what their backfield looks like. You know, you could throw the Giants in there just because I don't think Devin Singletary's, you know, solidified as a featured guy, but, you know, can do the job. I put that as a third spot. I think Minnesota, you know, knowing that Aaron Jones is 29 and missed a lot of time last year, that's another team I could see, you know, jumping into it. The Raiders, you know, moving on from Josh Jacobs, and, you know, no matter how much they say they like Zamir White, I would imagine they'd like to add somebody else there, not just Alexander Mattison. So there's a few spots I think you could see where, you know, teams will maybe go a little bit sooner, you know, not necessarily disagreeing with Chris. I don't think we're going to see a round one running back and even early in round two. I think end of round two, round three makes a lot of sense for where the first couple of guys may go, or at least one guy may go. But Dallas is definitely the team that we're going to be looking at and saying whoever they get is probably going to be the first running back drafted in fantasy, you know, depending on how high that goes. I would be surprised if it's not in the first five rounds, just because, again, what that team has produced, as bad as you think Tony Pollard was, he was worth a round five pick last year. We just overvalued him as a round one pick in fantasy. So we'll see whoever they end up getting. But that's going to be, I think, the team that we gravitate to the most of. Okay, now they have their guy. Now let's see what this guy can do.
But those aren't the only, I think Jamie named six teams. Like, you can make the case for close to maybe 10 more teams that could use at least depth at the running back position. Some of them are pretty scary. And there's a couple of teams that have backs that we love. They've been huge for fantasy for years. There could be a changing of the guard after this year, some because of contract situations, some because they might just be over the hill.
Right. But we're looking for, you know, obviously we're looking for a guy who can come in, step in, and be good in 2024. Right. And for that matter, I kind of hope Jonathan Brooks doesn't end up going to the Cowboys or the Chargers, because I don't want to have to well, he's coming off the torn ACL. We like everything about him, except we don't know how he's going to, right? That's going to be kind of annoying.
I don't think he fits in with what the Chargers want from their running back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're taking Blake Corum. It's done.
They want somebody like that.
Blake Corum is small. I got to say that, though. Like, Blake Corum is a guy who's a, he's a really, listen to my favorite Blake Corum stat. Near the goal line, I looked at most of these guys, how they did from 1 to 3 yards out. In his career, Blake Corum had 47 carries from 1 to 3 yards out. He scored 34 touchdowns on those 47. Right? Is that amazing? That is incredible. I don't really know what a good rate is in college. We should definitely be over 50%. But in the, I mean, that would be amazing in the NFL. In college, even, that's true. That was by far the best I saw there. There's a lot of carries, too. 34 touchdowns on 47 carries near the goal line. But the problem is, for a guy who wants to be a bruiser like Blake Corum, he's 5'8", 205 pounds. So I don't know if he fits the Chargers. I mean, I know it makes sense because of the Michigan thing. But he's not Gus Edwards. Let's put it that way, Chris. And I got to take a break, but in mid-discussion here. But I do want to know your thoughts on these smaller running backs. I guess in general, you got Corum, you got Bucky Irving, who's 192 pounds, 5'9". And just your thoughts, you know, can a, how, like Devon Achane, we don't even know what kind of pounding he can take. Can a smaller running back be an every down back? We'll talk about that in a moment. I do want to look to tell you about some other podcasts we have. We have the With the First Pick podcast, a great way to get ready for the NFL draft. You can hear a former GM and very talented scouts now talking NFL draft all the time. I love that podcast, and they have really fun banter on there as well. We've got the Early Edge for gambling. We got a new one, Beyond the Arc. We got the First Cut for you Masters fans, for any golf fan out there, the First Cut. We got Fantasy Baseball Today. We got FFT Dynasty. CBSSports.com/podcasts has it all. Quick break here. Thoughts on smaller running backs, thoughts on the rest of this class, thoughts on Brock Bowers and the tight ends right after this.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Chris, is there a height, weight that you look for with running backs?
So it always used to be 200 pounds. I think you can go a little under that. I think Bucky Irving, at, like, being in the 190s is probably as light as you want to get. Now that's, of course, talking like being a high volume type player. And I think it's, as you guys would know, it's if someone is 5'8 and over 200 pounds like Blake Corum, they're built lower to the ground. Their contact balance is just naturally better. So he's a thicker running back than Bucky Irving. I just think in the modern day NFL, it's not exactly mirroring what we've seen at wide receiver, but, and I'm not saying that players aren't getting bigger and faster, but it seems like smaller, quicker players at those skill positions, like Sam Laporta is not very big. George Kittle is not very big. I don't think you need to be gigantic and be 225 plus to be a serviceable running back today. So I think it's that threshold has been dropped maybe 5 or 10 pounds. If you're at least 190, around 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", I think you can be, and you have good receiving ability and you truly are good in space like Bucky Irving is. I think he really excels there. Then I think that's fine.
Specifically with Corum, do you think, and I want to point out with Corum also, he was a lot better earlier in his career. I do wonder.
Before the injury.
Yeah, the torn meniscus late in 2022. He didn't have a great 2023, which might be hurting his draft stock. Do you think he can hold up with his running style and his size, Blake Corum?
So I just said that, you know, his size, I think, is fine at 5'8", 205. I just don't think he's elusive enough, and I just mentioned it. So what I've done with running backs, like since I've been here at CBS, like it's fun to watch these guys. You watch a ton of games and you think, okay, I think this guy's this elusive. And I think this guy's that elusive. It's very hard because there's such a like small disparity between how elusive these guys are. So I really lean on the numbers. Blake Corum's missed tackle force rate was like in the high 20s at Michigan. Bucky Irving's the last 2 years was almost 40. So like that's way, way different. Jonathan Brooks was at 33.6% last year. His really on his own, his only one major year at Texas, 33.6%. Trey Benson, who we haven't talked about yet, 40%. Tyrone Tracy, who we haven't talked about yet, 40%. So like I lean more into those numbers to say, well, I can't really, you know, watching 200, 300, carries for these guys, I can't really delineate between how elusive he is compared to that guy, compared to that guy. So for me, it's not even about the size with Blake Corum. It's about the fact that I think at that size, to be like Jamie mentioned, maybe not a feature back like Devin Singletary, but be serviceable and be able to be a quality player, a decent fantasy guy in spots, you need to be like crazy elusive. So I, to your question, I don't think Blake Corum's style, where he is more of a battering ram and was behind an off like awesome offensive line, a great running scheme, unless he gets it in the NFL, I don't think he has just the natural physical ability and just, again, the natural elusiveness to kind of hold up in the NFL.
And worth noting, you're low on him. You have him 10th. So that's...
Yes, I think he's the most overrated probably in this class, just based on where he might go.
Wow, okay. Who's the most underrated?
Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State. He, his missed tackle force rate, 34%. So right, I mean, of course, smaller school level, but right there with Jonathan Brooks, and he's like 6'1", 220. He's a big back. And you just watch those two on film. Watch Blake Corum, who's tiny and more of a battering ram, can make guys miss once in a while. And then watch South Dakota State, Isaiah Davis, bigger, and has like similar, if not more, juice in his lower half than I think Blake Corum. And he could be probably picked 6th or 7th round and be a great runner in kind of that zone blocking scheme that we've seen from the Shanahan coaching tree.
And I thought you were going to say Tyrone Tracy, who you have 3rd. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. With that said,
he's kind of gotten a lot of buzz lately though. So I don't know if I would consider him underrated, because I know Emery Hunt likes him a lot. A lot more people, Greg Cosell likes him quite a bit. He's older, but I don't think he's like super under the radar anymore.
Here, your first guy is Trey Benson. I want to ask Jamie a question here about the profile of Trey Benson. Certainly highlighted on our FFT Dynasty show. He is going to get a lot of Ken Walker comparisons, Jamie. He's a home run hitter. He's a big play threat, but he's also a negative play kind of guy, or it's almost like all or nothing, or has been with Trey Benson, who's coming out of Florida State. And another guy who transferred, but he is number one. He's he ran a 4.38 40, which is almost identical to what Ken Walker ran. Do you have any issues with that profile? Do you like that profile? Do you not care? Basically, in terms of, at least I'm not saying he's stuck to being that, but coming in, he looks like a big play guy, but that's also going to give you a lot of negative plays or a lot of 0 yards.
I mean, I think what we see from players like this, when they get with the wrong coaching staff, is when they're always looking for the home run and they're not going north south and they're not getting the 3 yards when it's 3rd and 2, and those type of things get those guys in trouble. Then we start to see problems. And go back, you mentioned Zach Charbonnet. What were the things we were nitpicking about Ken Walker after Charbonnet was drafted? Was, is this what Pete Carroll was sort of looking for, was somebody to get that extra yard as opposed to looking for 15, you know, and was that something that was going to get Ken Walker in trouble? Now, clearly it didn't. And maybe he adjusted his game and, you know, they sat him down and said, this is the things, these are the things you need to do. So you hope that if he can be that type of player, that he can also adjust his game to continue to grow and evolve and understand that sometimes I don't need to hit the home run, but when it's there, I have the ability to do it, you know? So YPC for life will be always something you look at and get excited about. But also sometimes when it's, you know, third and one and you get stuffed, can you get it again on fourth and one and get that yard? And that's what makes the difference when you stand on the field or coming off for the next guy. So I don't mind the profile, obviously, because you love home run ability and you love the potential of a guy you could take a 50 yards on a carry and score. But obviously he's got to be with the right coaching staff and right system that's going to support that and continue to feed him when he's struggling a little bit because he's is looking for the home run, because it doesn't always happen in the NFL. The game doesn't always transition the same.
Is he a feature back in the NFL? Because he wasn't at Florida State.
Yeah, I don't really know why that happened outside of maybe Mike Norvell that kind of liked to cycle through running backs when he was at Memphis. Beyond that, I haven't been able to really gather why he was not given like 200 or more carries. But now I like the fact that Trey Benson is coming in with 316 carries on his collegiate career the last couple of years. So that's part of the reason why he's my running back one. I kind of view him right between Ken Walker and Breece Hall a few years ago. Now, Breece Hall was the opposite. He had so many carries at Iowa State, was super elusive, big, and then he tested a lot faster than I think people expected. We've seen those big plays when he's been able to be on the field with the Jets. So I like the fact, obviously, that Trey Benson is coming in very low mileage, and he checks all those same boxes that I remember checking with Breece Hall. Fast, big, elusive. 2022, Trey Benson forced a missed tackle on 51% of his carries, which is astronomical. It's great. Yeah, it's really, really high. So for the last 2 years, like I said, it was right at 40%, a little bit of a dip in effectiveness last year. But for me, Trey Benson, the fact that he has in his career about as many carries as Breece Hall got in one season at Iowa State, I really like that. So in terms of can he be a feature back, I'm not sure why he wasn't at Florida State, but yes, I do think he can be that guy that can shoulder the full workload in the NFL.
And I got to say, that's one thing that's hard to predict just from a player's workload in college. Damian Pierce obviously comes to mind.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But also Josh Jacobs. I mean, Josh Jacobs was a guy who barely, who really didn't get a lot of work. And then I think in his first game, he got 20 carries in the NFL. So
that's a different beast, though. That Alabama backfield was just amazing.
It's true, but it's really up to the NFL coach and how they want to use the guy. And I last question about Benson, who is your number one guy. He averaged over 11 yards per catch. Just watching some highlights, saw a few screen passes that he either took to the house or almost did. Really exciting stuff, which also reminds me of Ken Walker. I wish they would use him more in the passing game because that's the kind of guy you want out in space, but they don't. So you have a great efficiency with Benson, but not a lot of catches. Do you think he's ever going to be a 40 catch guy in the NFL?
I don't know about 40. I could maybe see 30. I mean, that was a strength that I wrote in my scouting reports that he's certainly capable in this screen game. He's not going to run routes. He has a really unique style in space. The Trey Benson, 6'1", he runs kind of high. So you think, okay, he has bad contact balance. He's not going to be able to absorb hits and keep going. But he's actually pretty good at taking those hits and kind of maintaining his balance. He does that in the screen game as well, where you think he's just going to be a north-south guy, hit a couple cuts, make a few guys miss, and then he can hit, you know, a 30, 40-yard gain on a well-blocked screen. So I don't know if he'll ever be so good where coaches will feel like they need to feature him in the screen game, but he's certainly capable and does not have any issues with his hands.
All right, I want to get, we got to go a little faster here so we can get to some guys. Marshawn Lloyd, I'm going to go 2 through 4 in your rankings. Because number 5 is Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, who we've spoken about, is coming off a torn ACL. Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue. I'm getting my prospects confused. That's the converted wide receiver, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So you don't get a lot of carries so far from Tyrone Tracy because he played wide receiver basically 1 year as a running back at Purdue. And then Bucky Irving out of Oregon at number 4. So Lloyd 2, Tracy 3, Irving 4. I would say Marshawn Lloyd out of USC is a pretty polarizing prospect. You have him too. Okay. I've seen him 10th. I think Emery's really high on him. What do you like about him? Well, I guess, what do you like about Lloyd, Tracy, Irving? How, you know, talk about 2 through 4.
Okay. Yeah, so what I like about Marshawn Lloyd is that he's young. He didn't get a bunch of carries at USC. So again, like Trey Benson, relatively low mileage. And to kind of frame and give perspective on all these numbers I'm throwing out with missed tackle force, his highest season missed tackle force, and this is for Marshawn Lloyd from USC, 41% rate. So that, again, it's not Trey Benson 51%, but to be where Trey Benson was this past season, which was 40%, to be right in that range shows that he's very elusive. I think his vision is good. Certainly could be used in the screen game. I just think he's one of those, like, can and will be a better pro if he's just utilized more, like we were talking about earlier with some other runners. I think that's kind of how I feel about Marshawn Lloyd. I think there's a lot of untapped potential. Bucky Irving's interesting because he tested really badly. We mentioned Devin Singletary earlier. He reminds me a lot of Devin Singletary, who was coming out of FAU 2019. Did not test well at all, but was just crazy elusive. Bucky Irving's highest season of missed tackle force rate, almost 43%. He's just really hard to corral in space. Now, he's not going to break away. He's not going to be a Trey Benson or a Breece Hall to hit a lot of big runs, but I think he will kind of do the opposite, where it's 3rd and 2, looks like he's not going to get the first down. He'll duck under a tackle, get 3 yards. I think he's someone that, likes Devin Singletary did it in Buffalo with the Bills, and then last season in Houston, can really garner the trust pretty quickly of the coaching staff, because there's not going to be a lot of negative plays on film, and will get more than what's blocked for him. But if you love athleticism, he's not a guy for you. So it'll be really interesting to see where he's ultimately picked, because we know that draft position plays a pretty big factor, maybe not as much so with running backs as other positions. And then Tyrone Tracy, he is definitely a wild card. And if a lot of people have him much lower, I get it. He's older. He's 24 years old, played wide receiver at Iowa, only has one season with over 100 carries. So again, I like the low mileage. You can kind of look back to, it's kind of where I'm likening him to Antonio Gibson when he was coming out of Memphis, where it was like, he doesn't really even know which gap to run through at this point. He really was so new to the position.
He still doesn't.
Tyrone Tracy. Yeah, yeah, he still doesn't. That's true. But we did get what, 1.5 solid seasons from Antonio Gibson as a converted wide receiver. That's kind of how I feel about Tyrone Tracy. Obviously he can catch the football. His missed tackle force rate last year, right up 40%. So he's someone that, I saw Sam Monson from PFF, I thought this was hilarious, tweeted that Tyrone Tracy runs like he's drunk. Like, there are times where he makes a juke that just looks weird. It's like not like you see from other running backs. And I don't know if that's because he's just so new to the position, where he just kind of like back jukes between the tackles, makes a linebacker miss, and then accelerates. He ran 4.448, had a 40-inch vertical, so the athleticism is there. I think he'll be picked later because of his age and how raw he is to the position. But again, I lean heavily into the numbers with running backs. Good athlete, love the receiving ability with Tyrone Tracy, and just the fact that despite being so unpolished and unrefined at the position, he made defenders miss on almost half of his runs last season at Purdue.
Where do you have Jalen Wright?
I think I'm at six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's someone that is a little lower in terms of elusiveness, but hitting home runs. I mean, he did have some pretty big lanes at Tennessee in that spread offense under Josh Heupel, but he can hit like 40, 50, 60 yard touchdowns in the NFL, and it's a bigger back. I just don't see laterally in short area quickness and elusiveness. I don't think it's to the level of any of these other running backs that we've talked about. But again, behind the right offensive line or in a zone-based scheme that's just going to ask him to make one cut and go, I think that's where Jalen Wright could be really good.
Jalen Wright out of Tennessee ran a 4.3840. Let me go back to 2 through 4, specifically Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue and Bucky Irving out of Oregon. And these are guys that you should know, they have pass-catching ability. Obviously, we just talked about it. Tracy is the converted receiver. So even though Gibson hasn't been a great running back, he's kept himself relevant because obviously he can play on third down. He can catch passes. They're going to have to work on pass protection, I assume, with Tyrone Tracy. But Bucky Irving had 87 catches in his last 2 years. at Oregon. So another guy who can do that. And Tracy, I'm curious to see if he goes a little bit higher than we think, because he's been really good on special teams, and that matters a lot more now with the new kickoff rules, even though they are temporary. So we'll see about that for Tyrone Tracy. Dave, you saw Marshawn Lloyd at the Senior Bowl. He's number two for Chris. I'm smitten. Don't tell my wife, but I've fallen in love with Marshawn Lloyd. Ran a 4.46. She's fine with it. Transfer from South Carolina, went to USC. The avoid rate is amazing, as Chris mentioned. 41% was second in the nation among 160 running backs with 100 or more carries. He was also fifth best in yards before contact per carry, 20th in yards after contact per carry. Problem with Lloyd, 8 fumbles on 291 carries. So that's a big red flag. I didn't think you were as impressed with Lloyd, if I remember, Dave.
I think he's a good running back. He's going to have a role with the team, but I don't think he's got workhorse potential. I think I think Chris nailed a lot of what Marshawn Lloyd is, and he was one of the better running backs at the Senior Bowl, no question about it. And I think he's got potential as a pass catcher. That's really where he made some great plays at the Senior Bowl. But for a guy who, he's 5'9 and over 200 pounds, so he's thick,
220.
But he doesn't play like it. He's not as physical. You mentioned the fumbles he had 3 last year.
He's 220 because he's 220 and he just runs by people. He puts his foot in the dirt and he just, whew, he's gone. I love that from a 220-pound running back.
No, that's great. But there's going to be times where he, you know, doesn't have that lane.
Yeah.
And doesn't have that opportunity, and he's not going to be powering through. You know, he's not doing what Blake Corum did in Michigan. You're
absolutely right. Yep.
So that's part of the problem. He's not pass pro ready. I don't know how ready he is to catch the ball. He had a great week catching it at the Senior Bowl. I don't know if that means he's going to do anything in the NFL. And he does have a track record of getting hurt. It goes back to high school. I don't know if we should overvalue him, but if he does go to a team, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, where he could fall into a massive role early on, then yeah, I kind of get it. I could see him, if he gets a huge opportunity, not completely falling apart. But I also don't know how many teams that have those opportunities.
What a compliment.
Are looking at Marshawn Lloyd saying, yes, he's the complete back for us. Let's go get him.
Not completely falling apart. I like that. That's a good floor. All right, we'll take a break here on that note and talk more, I guess, if we want to talk more about Jonathan Brooks or Jalen Wright. But we also have Braylon Allen, who's a name to know, Dylan Lobby, who's going to be the pass catching specialist, and more after this. Oh, and Brock Bowers.
Big contract extension.
What's that?
Big contract extensions.
Who?
Devontae Smith.
Oh, that just happened.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I'm going to save the news. I have a decent amount of news and notes. I'm going to save them for tomorrow's show because I don't think we'll be able to fit them. But we have to talk about Rashee Rice. I mean, allegedly driving 119 miles per hour, and the Chiefs in position to draft a wide receiver in round one. You know, what does this all mean for Rashee Rice? T. Higgins says he expects to play for the Bengals next season. Brandon Ayuk, he unfollowed the 49ers. And if he gets a contract extension, I think all of you at home, if your company is on social media, consider unfollowing them. It might mean a future contract extension for you, or you could get fired.
What does it mean when your company unfollows you?
Yeah, that's never good. We don't want that. You also could get fired, so don't do it if you're worried. Note on the Titans backfield. We'll save that for tomorrow. All right, we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Back here with Chris Trapasso and Dave and Jamie. So Jonathan Brooks, we spent a lot of time on him early in the show. The rankings are Benson for Chris. Benson 1, Marshawn Lloyd, Tyrone Tracy, Bucky Irving, 2, 3, and 4. Jonathan Brooks is 5. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee is 6. We briefly talked about him. Jamie, you brought him up. Is that somebody you like?
I do. Yeah. I mean, he's young, you know, so we'll see, you know, how that translates and how quickly, you know, he can acclimate to the NFL game. As Chris said, you know, I think the right system will clearly matter for him, but his athletic profile, man, it's fun to watch that kid play, you know, so I'm excited to see where he ends up. But, you know, for me, again, it all comes down to fit. You know, you could have best, you know, prospect, and he goes to the wrong team and he's ruined. And the worst prospect, you know, like Dave was, you know, kind of poo-pooing, you know, Lloyd a little bit, ends up in the right system, as Dave alluded to. You know, we're going to be very excited about it. So, but yeah, Jalen Wright is somebody I'm excited to see where he ends up.
I guess that's a good question overall is, you know, how many running backs, I don't know if there's a great answer for this, Chris, but how many running backs are, if they end up in the right situation, they could be the number one running back in this class for NFL purposes or for fantasy purposes. Like, I don't know that you could necessarily say that about Ray Davis or Dylan Lobby because he's such a specialist, but how many running backs, if they go to the Cowboys, they are number one this year for us.
Before Chris answers, let me just jump in on that real quick, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is probably the perfect story for this. Is he wasn't really the best prospect in that class, and we got so excited because of the place that he ended up. He's with Andy Reid and the Chiefs. They spent a first-round pick on him. This can't fail. 55 catches coming out of LSU. Like, there was an opening. There was a team that was, you know, almost perfect for what we thought was any running back, and he was terrible. You know, and so not terrible, but he didn't live up to the expectations. So that's the thing, like, we want to avoid is the prospect maybe being middle of the pack or near the top, but not necessarily the best. Cause Jonathan Taylor was the best that year coming out and ended up in a good situation, not the same ideal situation. We were saying he should be 2, Edwards-Helaire should be 1. At least that was the consensus. And then we see how it worked out for both those guys. So I'm sorry to interrupt, Chris, but it feels like that's the story we're looking to avoid is, who's the guy that just goes to the right spot but may not be the right player for that particular team, even though they thought he was, and we also followed suit?
That's a good question. I mean, I think Trey Benson, to me, Marshawn Lloyd, Dave doesn't agree, and that's fine, and Jonathan Brooks, and even Jalen Wright, those four, I think, are like they're immune to the situation that they land in. I mean, that's within reason. I think all four of those backs – they're going to probably be picked somewhere from late second, like Jamie mentioned, to the fourth round. The teams that pick them, I mean, that's a relatively early investment on a running back today. So I think those teams will have it, hopefully some plan in place or a need, or, you know, they want to play those running backs relatively early on and don't have abysmal offensive lines. I think any of those four in a reasonable situation can, in the next 2 to 3 years, be very fantasy relevant and be, you know, in the top, I don't know, 10 to 15 running backs in the NFL.
And, you know, Dave mentioned this before about the 10 teams or so outside of the ones I named that could be in the market for a running back and just adding to their depth. So, you know, we may be looking at these guys and saying, okay, yeah, if an injury happens, they're going to be good, or, you know, this situation, that situation, whatever it is, mostly probably injury when you're talking about the guy that the Ravens may invest in or the Cardinals may invest in, or, you know, some of these teams that need
Cleveland.
You know, Cleveland or the Texans, you know, just looking for their next guy, you know, that may be 2025 as opposed to 2024. Those are the ones that are going to be very interesting to see, because they may surprise us. You know, Baltimore may surprise us. The Cardinals may surprise us. You know, teams like that have what should be their featured guy in place, but knowing that they're 27, 28, 29, obviously Derrick Henry 30, you know, those type of situations. And those are going to be the very, very intriguing ones, especially, you know, I'm sure Heath has, you know, talked about this at length, at least I hope he has, in terms of what those guys' value is for 2025 and beyond. And when you're doing these rookie-only drafts, how much you're going to be investing in those guys maybe earlier than you think you might or might want to, because of what they could become by next season.
You want the grossest team? This one's going to make fantasy managers sick. That could go and draft a running back? Jacksonville. Etienne's in a contract year. Bigsby didn't step up last year.
Sorry.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if Jacksonville ended up getting
it. Well, I mean, it does make a little bit of sense with Balky, you know, coming from San Francisco and how that team has sort of operated for years and being a part of it.
Yeah. And they already, right. I mean, they already said they wanted to reduce ETN's workload. And I think they may have drafted a dud last year in Bigsby. So we'll see. All right. Brooks and Jonathan Brooks is 5. Jalen Wright is 6. Let's go to 7-8 here. Kimani Vidal out of Troy.
Yes.
It took me, like, you heard how slowly I had to go to pronounce the name. Kimani Vidal. 5'8", 213-pound running back out of Troy, ran a 4.46 40-yard dash. And then you've got at 8, you have Braylon Allen, who's just a big dude out of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. which, I mean, you figured he would go to Wisconsin, right? So 6'1".
Oh, when you used to hate Wisconsin running backs, it was so funny.
I mean, I don't want a 235-pound running back who did not run the 40. It's just not my kind of guy in the NFL these days. I don't see any chance that Braylon Allen's going to be in on third downs. I just, like, this is not.
Oh, the pre-Melvin Gordon, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, he fits in with Ron Dane. You know, I mean, that's not what the NFL is these days, really. So am I wrong, Chris? Like, Braylon Allen, I don't see him being hugely fantasy relevant.
Probably, yeah, he is gigantic. He is one of the youngest running back or the youngest prospects in the entire class. He's only 20 years old. So Jamie mentioned with Jalen Wright, who's also very young, like, is that good? Is that promising for what we were just talking about, like the future 2025 and beyond? Or will it take him a year or two to gain the trust of his coaching staff and kind of learn the intricacies that comes with the complexities of just running in the NFL, picking which lane to choose, things like that? What's interesting and what's a little different about Braylon Allen coming from Wisconsin, outside of the fact that he's like as big as Ron Dane was, is that he is awesome in pass protection. So I know that's not fantasy relevant, but I think it will get him on the field on third downs relatively early. And it's usually the case you show early in your career as a running back that you're good in pass protection, then eventually they'll start throwing you the football. Now, he was not a huge part of the receiving game at Wisconsin, but I didn't see like he has like Andre Williams hands necessarily. I think he's actually can be good in that regard. And in terms of vision, being 6'2", 235, it feels like he's just a battering ram. I think he's very good on those inside and outside zone plays where he can just hit one cut and then just kind of effortlessly run through someone. Now, he's not Derrick Henry, but I think his power is like effortless. He's not looking for contact, but he's just such a horse to bring to the turf. And again, he's the best pass blocking running back in this class. And I think Kimani Vidal from Troy is also kind of a fire hydrant, very good in that regard. So it's maybe good notes to have going into a rookie only draft that these guys might have that trust and confidence from their coaching staff early on because they're not total liabilities when it comes to pass protection.
You can tell Chris has been describing players for a while now. From the Spinley from last week and horse take it to the turf.
Yeah. It's all for my scouting reports. Yeah. Yep. I try to sound as scouty as possible in those. So it's just
Braylon Allen sounds like a Charger to me.
No, actually, I think Don F nailed it. Sounds like a Packer to me. Not this year, maybe, but yeah.
I don't know, man. Did they get out of that mold after AJ Dillon burned him?
Well, honestly, I'm here to learn. I didn't know about the pass protection. So that's a great note. And that'll give me a little more hope for him. And the fact that he is only 20 years old, Braylon Allen. And he had 28 catches.
I want to bring up something Chris said there, though, because I know Chris plays fantasy and certainly for people that listen. If you're good in pass protection, it does make you a little fantasy relevant because it keeps you on the field.
Exactly.
You know,
so, yeah, that's what I'm
for
saying.
Sure. It's not a stat, obviously, that we track for points, but it does help certainly in how we evaluate those players because we'll say all the time, well, why is he coming off the field in certain situations? Because he can't pass ball. So,
right.
I can see the Chargers taking a chance on someone like that because they don't need necessarily. We think they have a need. They may not think they have a need for this season because of what they've who they brought in and who they are continuing to look at. So it may be they're looking for more depth as opposed to a starter. All
right, I wonder if we add that to our leagues this year. PPPB.
You can do that, the ones you commission.
Point per pass block.
How about Dylan Lobby? So another small school guy here. Is he the best pass catcher in this class?
Insane amount of catches. He's kind of like Evan Hall at Northwestern last year, who caught like a million passes in that offense. He was really like the focal point of the New Hampshire offense last year. I tweeted just from a draft perspective, and because I do lean into the numbers so much, that I don't understand, and just from watching the film, I don't know why a team would pick Blake Corum when you can just pick Dylan Lobby later. He's a better athlete. They're both older prospects around the same size. The missed tackle force rate, or like you're calling it, avoid rate, was higher for Lobby. Now, difference, of course, small school as opposed to the Big Ten. But they're like very, very similar runners. Lobby was used like in short yarded situations too. He probably didn't score, from 1 to 3 yards out at a rate that Blake Corum did. But if you love Blake Corum and you're not a fan of the Chargers and the Chargers picked Blake Corum in the fourth round, you should be circling that name, Dylan Lobby, later, round five, round six, round seven, because I think he can just be that little annoying for defenses PPR monster if he falls into the right situation. And of course, is not going to start as the feature back or even the running back too, but certainly caught a lot of passes, better athlete than you would think. He's a better athlete than Blake Corum. He's just a little bit older and just doesn't have a lot of juice down the field.
How do you feel about Blake Corum? Do you like Blake Corum? You are just, I love it, man. No, I'm just kidding with you. You have Corum. You call them the most underrated, and it just seems like it's very funny the way you kept kind of trashing him there. But no, you don't hate Blake Corum. I mean, you have him 10th.
No, I don't. Yeah, I have him 10th. I don't hate him. Like I just said, if the Chargers pick him in the fourth round, I think that's a little early for him. I think he can be in a very niche role, fine. Do I think he's going to be this amazing short yardage goal line back in the NFL? I don't. I think Michigan was so good up front and they really featured him in that role. I don't think, again, he's good enough getting down inside the goal line to be that person that garners those carries. I think if he went in the fifth or sixth, I think that would be totally fine. And again, he can catch passes in the screen game. But I think Dylan Lobby can give you a lot of what Blake Corum gets. You can just pick him later in the draft.
I got two more running backs to ask you about, and we'll see if the chat has any more to ask you about. But right. On a quick aside, Dave and Jamie, do you think the Chargers are going to be good this year? Because I'm getting some just like they're going to suck vibes.
No. No, I think they'll be competitive.
I mean, they don't have a good defense. They have obvious needs that they need to fill in the draft. But right now they have, I would say, one of the worst starting running backs. They have one of the worst receiving cores. They don't have an explosive tight end. What do they have? They have a great quarterback, so that always helps. But what do they have other than him?
Quarterback and coach.
Coach, it could take him more than a year, though. You know, it may not be a year one.
Well,
success.
I don't know what you're defining as winning. Are they going to the Super Bowl? No.
Are they 500? Are they 9-8 or worse? I think they're below 500.
I would say they're in that range.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I agree.
All right, so we're not that far off.
Given the fact that what they're coming. First off, they just stay healthy. They're going to be competitive. That's been such an Achilles heel.
Which is kind of a thing that we can't guarantee with the Chargers.
Right. If Keenan Allen and Mike Williams can just stay healthy this year. Right?
Yeah, right.
I'll just take Justin Herbert staying healthy, and I think they'll be competitive.
They're definitely going to be a better coach this year than they were at any point over the last 4 years.
Yes.
They have Herbert. That's always going to help. But they have a bare cupboard offensively, I'd say.
But they have a coach who gets it, though. That's the thing.
All right, Ray Davis and Audric Estime. Davis out of Kentucky, Estime out of Notre Dame. Would you call them similar prospects?
Estime is like this is going to sound weird. He's the less athletic version of A.J. Dillon. He is thick and big and wants to just run through people. Did not test very well. I think he had one of the slowest, if not the slowest, 40-yard dash, like in the 4.7s. But is like on film in terms of effortless power. I kind of use that phrase with Braylon Allen. It's even more so with Audric Estime. I'm out on Ray Davis. He's not a great athlete. The avoid rate was pretty low. He's older. He was certainly fun at Kentucky, but he's one you watch his film. Like I mentioned earlier, watching his film, I'm like, man, he's really elusive. Then I check the numbers and I'm like, oh man, like the missed tackle force rate was like 25. 5 last year. We're mentioning guys at the top that are in the 40s, Trey Benson in the 50s. I think if you're above 30, then you're pretty good just in terms of your highest season at that rate. So to me, they're different running backs. Ray Davis is smaller, compact, was good in that Kentucky offense. It kind of took a step back after Will Levis last season. But if you don't test very well, and so you don't have that athleticism to lean on, and to me, if you're not very elusive, plus you're older, that's usually going to be me being out on the player. So that's kind of how I feel about Ray Davis. Estimate, though, did force, let me see, I got it right here, 31% avoid rate last season, despite being pretty darn slow and just a kind of an old school back. So for teams that want size and physicality, that don't want pass protection, I guess, with Braylon Allen, Audric Estime maybe later in the draft could be an option.
One thing I like about Estime is in the fourth quarter, each of the last 2 years, he averaged 6.9 yards per carry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He looks like an offensive lineman running out. He's just like his pads are huge. He looks huge running out there. Audric Estime out of Notre Dame, probably not going to be a great fantasy option, but could definitely have a role as a bruiser, as a goal line guy, maybe. All right. I think we had a question about Frank Gore Jr. actually in our chat, if you want to talk about him, and then we'll talk about tight ends.
Yeah, I like Frank Gore Jr. He kind of reminds me of Kamani Vidal in that they were two smaller school-ish, like non-power five running backs that are not very tall, but they're compact. The avoid rate was good. Frank Gore's highest was right around 36%. So you certainly like that from him. Now, he does have a lot of mileage on his legs. They used him a lot there at Southern Miss the last 4 years. He's someone, though, that fifth, sixth, seventh round in the right situation, he would be more of what Jamie was mentioning, that he would have to fall into the right situation, a coach that believes in him, a good offensive line, and then maybe an injury or two in front of him. I think he's capable of being, you know, that spot starter for a couple weeks fantasy-wise that can be productive against some lesser defenses.
Oh, guess what? We're talking about tight ends today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, two questions. How many fantasy relevant tight ends do you think we could have? And how many wide receivers should be drafted before Brock Bowers in the NFL draft?
Okay, tight ends, fantasy relevant. I'll say at most it's 3. Brock Bowers, obviously. I like Ben Sinnott quite a bit from Kansas State. I think his route running ability, the yards after the catch that I mentioned 50 times in the wide receiver episode, I think with Ben Sinnott is very good. He's a big time athlete, didn't run particularly fast, but the vertical and the broad jump, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but they were really good. I remember at the combine, I think he had a 40-inch vertical. And then Jaheim Bell reminds me a lot of Chigakonkwo, who I know hasn't been super fantasy relevant, but he's kind of that H-back, throw him the ball underneath, will break tackles, like just throw guys off of him. So really only those three. I don't like this tight end class very well. And then wide receivers in front of Brock Bowers, probably 3, just the big 3. And I know I called it a big 4 last week, but probably just a Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr. and a Malik Nabers. And then I think somewhere in that pick 10 to pick 15 or 16 range is where we'll see Brock Bowers get drafted.
Seems like the Colts just are dead set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
How would you feel about that, Jamie? Colts taking Brock Bowers?
Oh, I think it'd be good. You know, I mean, anytime you can get a young quarterback, a playmaker like this, it'll help. And I think we sort of saw a very small sample size that Richardson as a passer was a lot better than we expected. So, you know, giving him targets that can play and play at this level, I think it would be no relevant to him. Is he the best quarterback that he would end up with? Probably not, but, you know, could certainly be somebody that he grows with. And, you know, that would easily be the number 2 target getter on that team. You know, so we would love that situation, 1 or 2 in terms of targets. So, it would hurt Josh Downs. It would hurt whatever else they do on the outside, whether it's Alec Pierce or somebody else, and clearly be a little bit of a downgrade to Michael Pittman. But I think it would be fine.
So what kind of a prospect is Brock Bowers? Tell us about him, and how does he compare to some other guys we've seen? I'll just say in the top 10, he has got a chance at that. But like Kyle Pitts, TJ Hockenson, how do you feel about Bowers?
I like him a lot. I mean, it is a shame that we didn't get to see him work out. And I'm a big advocate for prospects of any kind that have shown for not just one season that they're really, really good. And especially those that have shown that at a young age. And from his freshman season on, Brock Bowers was like, all right, pencil him in. He's going to be a first rounder. We don't see a ton of first round tight ends anymore. The yards after the catch, I think, are great. I think he's really good separating at underneath, intermediate level, and even down the field. He is a little smaller. Like, there was that picture that went viral of him standing next to Rob Gronkowski, and they looked like tight end and like, I don't even like a running back, like looked way smaller. So he is in that sleeker kind of Sam Laporta build where he's like 6'3", 240, 245. He's not gigantic. I don't think he's going to be an amazing blocker, but in terms of just the nuance, the athleticism, and I think surprising power after the catch, I think Brock Bowers can be in the next couple years, especially as we're kind of seeing a changing of the guard, Travis Kelce getting up there in age, a top 5 to 7 receiving tight end in the NFL. He's very talented as a wide receiver. He makes some of the best catches you'll see in terms of just behind his back shoulder, over his head, diving. He's got really, really reliable hands. And that was a big thing with Dalton Kincaid last year when he was a first-round pick by the Bills.
Dave, would you like him on the Jets? Would you like him with the Mets? Would you got a little Dr. Seussy there. But would you like Brock Bowers on the Jets?
Sure. I want him to go somewhere where at worst he's going to be number two in targets. But it would be better if he went somewhere where he could have a shot of someday being number one on the team in targets. I think he's thick. Like, he might not be tall, and obviously Gronk is like Hulk out there, but Bowers is thick. And I think that the way that he was used at Georgia, especially toward the end of his time there, short area target, makes a play after the catch, and he's got speed that's unique for his size. And that's really where I think Bowers can win now. But I also, there's evidence of him winning further down the field. He just didn't get used that way as much as we'd like to see. I can think back to watching Dalton Kincaid play, and he was a seam monster. Like, all the time, Utah was using him there. And I wish Bowers was used that way more. It doesn't mean that he can't be used that way more. And so we'll see where he goes and what team can get creative with him. You mentioned Indianapolis. I think that's a team that could get creative with Brock Bowers. Certainly could be number two on that team in targets. I think about Cincinnati a little bit too. I think it would be rough this year because they still have T. Higgins. But what if he's the de facto replacement in that offense for T. Higgins? That would be, first of all, it would be a crazy offense for Burrow. And second of all, like, Bowers would eventually be huge volume, pass heavy offense, use downfield, can't be double teamed, would be absolutely insane. I would much rather him go to either of those situations than the Jets, who have long-term question marks at quarterback.
I have the 7th pick in a super flex dynasty draft. Bake Burger, Jamie. And he could be my pick. I think there'll be 3 receivers for sure. Caleb Williams for sure. Jaden Daniels. There'll be 5. So I don't know who's going to go 6th.
Drake May will go ahead in Superflex.
It depends on team need.
If Drake May goes to the Patriots, I don't know. Right, that's the other thing. If the team ahead of me doesn't have, that has 2 quartererbacks. But yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to take Bowers over Drake May, even in Superflex, because obviously, if you look at May, I would call him polarizing at this point. Bowers feels like more of a sure thing. But like,
but so did Kyle Pitts, though.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I would say that I feel more comfortable with Bowers hitting than any quarterback other than Caleb Williams. I mean, Jaden Daniels runs so much, it's going to be hard for him to be bad unless he just can't play like Justin Fields and loses his job. But Bowers feels like a pretty safe pick. I can't imagine I'm taking a 4th wide receiver over him. Like,
no, I don't think you are. And that's the range.
Well, it depends. What does Buffalo do?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
really. Even that,
that's 6 and 7 is where he's going to go in super flex. And I almost think you pencil him in for 4th overall in 1 QB rookie only drafts.
I don't know. I think Caleb, maybe 5th. Caleb, like, you know, 1 QB.
Again, I think it's not a need.
Yeah, I think there's no question it's Bowers ahead of any quarterback in 1 QB dynasty. It's unless you're a team that's picking 4th, you need a quarterback really bad, and you drafted a tight end last year. I could see that happening.
I hate where I'm picking. It's the worst.
Do you need a quarterback?
I have Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. When I drafted last year, I was like, oh, I am set for like 8 years. But maybe
I've been trying to think of a trade offer to make you for T. Higgins for Travis Etienne, but I can't find the right offer.
Let's just do straight up.
That's fine if you want to do it that way.
He has Higgins. I have ETN. Who would you rather have in Dynasty, Dave?
I think I'd rather have Higgins.
Oh, all right. All right, we'll see. Chris, thanks for hopping on, man.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
That is thanks, Chris.
Chris Chapasso, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, and we will be back on Wednesday to give it
Chris a little- is a fire hydrant.
Yeah. I am a fire hydrant. I'm small. I'm not over 200 pounds, so I can say that, but I'm definitely not 6 foot.
Short, stocky, and the information comes out at a high, fast rate.
Yeah, there it does. Go. That's true.
A must in every neighborhood. Dogs love him.
I know.
What are some of his weaknesses? Stationary.
Yeah. Doesn't move very
stiff
well.
Athlete. Stiff athlete.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday to give it a bit of an NFL spin to talk about the NFL players who could be most affected by the NFL draft. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you then.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.